Brothers and sisters in Christ, as we are now in the beginning of the second week of Lent, I wish you a good, how would you say it? As we continue on this Lenten journey, that we, you know, just in case we've in this first week, if we've, you know, our Lenten penances and observances, if we have fallen short, you know, we keep trying, and we try better this week. And so we know that our Lord is with us as we as He accompanies us on this journey. And so know of my prayers for you, especially in this beginning of the Lenten season. On this second Sunday of Lent, the church places before us the story in the first reading of Abraham and the sacrifice of his son Isaac. And this story is particularly powerful because it shows us how the Old Testament, how in the Old Testament everything points forward to the coming of Jesus Christ. In this story, in the book of Genesis, Abraham is instructed by God to sacrifice his own son. And so Abraham takes his son up the mountain. And just before Abraham sacrifices Isaac, God provides a ram or a lamb to be sacrificed in his place. Our Catholic faith, the beauty of our Catholic faith is that it has always seen that lamb or that ram as a symbol of Jesus Christ. So that we would not have to die on account of our sins, like Isaac, God the Father sent his Son, Jesus Christ, the Lamb, the true Lamb of God, who dies on the cross, on another mountain, Calvary, in our place, thinking of us. And brothers and sisters, let us also remember that when Jesus died on the cross, his love for us was not some sort of like generic love, like Jesus dying for all those people and all their sins, whatever those may be. No, Jesus' love for us on the cross was personal. When Jesus offered his life on the cross, he thought of us personally. He knew us individually. And when Jesus died for sins, it wasn't all these sins generally, but he thought of every sin that we would ever commit. And he died for those. You see, friends, Jesus' love for us is a personal love. And for that reason, he was able to save us. Last weekend, I preached on the sacrament of confession. And I answered one simple question. And that is, why do we confess our sins to a priest? And the answer, remember, is because Jesus gave to his apostles and to priests the power to forgive sins in his name. This was the first gift that Jesus gave to his apostles. Immediately after he rose from the dead on Easter Sunday. Remember, this is John chapter 20. If you want to go look it up in Scripture. The first thing Jesus does when he rises from the is raised from the dead is he doesn't offer Mass or read Scripture, but he gives his apostles the power to forgive sins in his name. And what I'd like to do is I'd like to continue preaching on this theme of the sacrament of penance in this Lenten season, and in particular, what it means to make a good confession, how to make a good confession of our sins. This is intended, first of all, to be helpful. It's intended to help you, but also to take away any fears that confession might bring, right? Because those fears, okay, they're there, possibly, especially if it may be a long time since we have received our Lord's forgiveness in the sacrament of confession. And so I just like to preach on how to make a good confession to be helpful. There are five simple steps, and I won't go through all of them today, but there are five simple steps to make a good confession of our sins. First is an examination of conscience. Second is a confession of our sins. Third is an act of contrition. Fourth is the prayer of absolution. And the fifth is to offer our penance. Now, we all know these steps. Most of us know these steps. But I just like to go deeper into them. So that just to spend a few brief moments on each one. And today, I just want to focus on the first two. The examination of conscience and the confession of our sins. The way that we prepare to make a good confession of our sins is that we examine our conscience. We say that we make an examination of conscience. And what this is thinking back to the last time that I made a good confession of my sins. And I ask myself, what sins have I committed since then? And it's good here that we can use a prepared examination of conscience. There are some back by the confessional, but we can also find them in prayer books or little leaflets or little pamphlets. But it's good to use an examination of conscience that's based on the Ten Commandments. And it would be just a series of questions based on the Ten Commandments, that helps us to jog our memory. And if it helps, it's actually okay. It's okay if you want to actually bring that examination of conscience into confession with you. Some will just bring in that little list and just read the questions and say, you know, yes or no, right? If that helps. You don't have to, but if that helps. A strong recommendation is to make an examination of conscience every day. We do that every day. If we do that every day before going to bed at night, when we say our night prayers, this can be a tremendous help for our spiritual lives because it helps us to think back, what sins have I committed today, just within the last 24 hours, so that when we are ready to go to confession, we've already every day examined our conscience, and so it's easy for us to recall the things that we need to confess. So that's the first step, is to make a good examination of conscience. The second step is the confession of our sins. Now remember that Jesus wants us to confess our sins to a priest because we actually have a human need to get things off our chest. And also remember that I've heard everything in confession, right? Nothing at all is surprising, right? Nothing is surprising to God or to the priest. We've heard it all. But what to confess? Most important, we confess all of our mortal sins, both by name, by naming them, and also by number. With mortal sins, we have to confess the number of times. What are our mortal sins? Our mortal sins are sins that are gravely sinful, so they're the big ones. But we also commit them with full knowledge and full consent. So if something's grave matter, if it's a big sin, and I do it knowingly, and I also do it willingly, right, then that is a mortal sin. These are the big things. These are the sins that are big, and they cause us to lose God's grace. Our relationship with God is broken when we commit a mortal sin. Some examples, and this is not an exhaustive list, just an example. Mortal sins would include deliberately missing Mass on Sunday, stealing large amounts of money, being unfaithful to one's spouse, the use of contraception or pornography, ruining another person's good name, like ruining their reputation. Those are just some sins that are grave matter. Those are big ones. But let us remember that even big sins, let us remember that no sin is bigger than God's mercy. We have to remember that. No sin is bigger than God's mercy. God can still take it away. And God wants to free us from our sins. He wants to free us and liberate us. After we confess our mortal sins, and that is a good thing to just begin like with the big ones, because we get them off our chest and then it's kind of like all downhill from there, okay? So if we have any mortal sins to confess, we do those by name and the number of times, getting them out of the way, and then we confess our venial sins. These are our smaller ones. These are the sins that we commit every day. And it's not necessary when we confess our venial sins to confess them by the number of times, just mortal sins. Our venial sins, we just name the sin. And these sins, venial sins, they do not completely break our relationship with God like mortal sins do. Yet they do harm to it. But the reason why it's a good idea, the reason why we should still confess our venial sins is because God promises to give us grace to overcome sin in the future. We call this sacramental grace. It's the grace of the sacrament. Jesus gives us grace to avoid those sins in the future. And so he promises to be with us and to help us to grow in all these areas in which we struggle. He knows we struggle. And so he wants to give us this grace to grow in these areas. Is it always fun to confess our sins? No. Is it sometimes scary to confess our sins because we may feel ashamed or embarrassed? Yeah, it can be. And as a priest, I get that, and I understand that. I love hearing confessions. And I myself love going to confession. I go to confession often. And I want you to know that. I want you to know that I myself am with you. But as a priest, I feel like I am most a priest when I hear confessions and when I celebrate the holy sacrifice of the Mass. It is for these two things especially that I was ordained to do. And so as we continue our Lenten observance, let us keep in mind our Lord's infinite love for us, that he desires, and he truly does. We have to believe that. He truly desires to free us from our sins. When we approach him in the sacrament of confession, no sin is greater than his mercy, and it is there that he waits for us. Amen.